Hello, and welcome to Mr. Doom, and welcome to another episode of Scary Stories. My name is Mike, and I've lived in the same small house for almost 5 years. It's in a quiet neighborhood just outside the city. I've always liked the solitude. No loud neighbors, no traffic noise, just me and my routines. But one night changed how I feel about being alone in that house. This happened about 6 months ago, in early summer. I remember the exact date because it was the day after my birthday. I had the day off work, so I spent most of it running errands, catching up on cleaning, and just enjoying the quiet. By the time night rolled around, I was exhausted and ready to relax. It was a little after 9 p.m., and I was sitting on the couch watching TV. I had a couple of windows open to let in the cool breeze, but other than that, the house was locked up. I've always been pretty good about security. Deadbolts, motion sensor lights, the whole deal. At around 10 p.m., I got up to grab a drink from the kitchen. As I walked past the front door, I noticed something odd. The motion sensor light outside had turned on. That wasn't completely unusual. Sometimes a stray cat or a raccoon would set it off. But it still made me pause. I walked over to the window next to the door and peeked outside. The porch was empty. The street was quiet too, with no cars or people in sight. I shrugged it off and went back to the kitchen, chalking it up to an animal or maybe even the wind. I sat back down with my drink and tried to focus on the show I was watching, but something felt off. You know that feeling when you're being watched? It was like that, this weird itch at the back of my neck. I muted the TV and sat there for a minute, listening. At first, I didn't hear anything unusual, just the faint hum of the fridge and the distant sound of a dog barking somewhere in the neighborhood. But then I heard it, a soft creak coming from the back of the house. I froze, my heart racing. It could have been the house settling or maybe the wind pushing against the walls, but deep down I knew it wasn't. It sounded too deliberate, like someone had stepped on a floorboard. I grabbed my phone and walked toward the hallway that led to the bedrooms. The hallway was dark, and I hadn't turned on any lights yet. I stood there for a moment, staring into the darkness, trying to convince myself it was nothing. Then I heard it again. Another creak, closer this time. I turned on the hallway light and called out, "Hello? Is someone there?" My voice sounded braver than I felt. No response. I slowly moved down the hallway, checking each room as I went. The guest room was empty. The bathroom was empty. Finally, I got to my bedroom. The door was open, which was strange because I always kept it closed. I stepped inside, my pulse pounding in my ears. Everything looked normal at first glance. The bed was made, the closet doors were shut, and the window was locked. But as I turned to leave, something caught my eye. The closet door. It wasn't closed all the way. I stared at it, debating whether to open it. Every horror movie I'd ever seen screamed at me to just leave, but I couldn't. I had to know. I reached for the handle, my hand shaking, and pulled the door open. The closet was empty. I let out a shaky breath and laughed at myself. "Get a grip, Mike," I muttered, closing the door and heading back to the living room. I tried to settle back into my spot on the couch, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was wrong. I kept glancing at the windows, half expecting to see someone staring back at me. That's when I noticed it. My phone, which I had left on the coffee table, wasn't where I'd left it. I looked around, thinking maybe I'd knocked it onto the floor, but it wasn't there. I checked the couch cushions, the kitchen counter, even the hallway. Nothing. Then I saw it. My phone was sitting on the kitchen table. I hadn't been anywhere near the kitchen table since I got up for my drink. My stomach dropped. Someone had moved it. My hands were shaking as I grabbed the phone and dialed 911. I told the dispatcher I thought someone was in my house and gave her my address. She told me to stay on the line and wait for the officers to arrive. I locked myself in the bathroom, my heart pounding so hard I thought it might explode. Every little sound made me jump. The creak of the pipes, the wind outside, even my own breathing. It felt like an eternity. But it was probably only about 5 minutes before I heard a knock at the front door. "Police!" a voice called out. I cautiously left the bathroom and opened the front door to find two officers standing there. I explained what had happened, and they started searching the house. After about 10 minutes, they came back and told me they hadn't found anyone. No signs of forced entry, no sign of a break-in. One of them suggested that maybe I'd misplaced my phone and imagined the noises because I was tired. I wanted to believe them. I really did. But then, as they were getting ready to leave, one of the officers stopped. "Did you leave this here?" he asked, holding up a piece of paper he'd found on the coffee table. I hadn't noticed it before, but there it was, a single sheet of paper with four words scrawled across it in shaky handwriting. "Check your bedroom closet." My blood ran cold. The officers immediately searched the bedroom again, but whoever had been there was gone. The only evidence they found was a faint smudge on the inside of the closet door, like someone had pressed their hand against it. I stayed at a friend's house that night, and I've never felt the same about living alone. I installed a security system the next day, and I double-check every lock before I go to bed. Whoever it was, they haven't come back. At least not that I know of. But sometimes, late at night, I think I hear the floorboards creak, and I can't help but wonder, are they still out there, waiting for the right moment? My name's Ethan, and this happened about 6 months ago when I was traveling for work. My company had sent me to a small town in Oregon for a week, and rather than stay in a hotel, they booked me an Airbnb. It was a cozy-looking place, simple, single-story, and tucked away at the edge of a quiet neighborhood. I arrived late that night after a long drive. It was just past 9 p.m., and the area was eerily quiet. The Airbnb was exactly as the pictures had shown. A tidy little house with a small porch, a driveway, and a few steps leading to the front door. Inside, it was clean and inviting, with a living room, a kitchen, two bedrooms, and a single bathroom. I dropped my bag in the master bedroom and did my usual security check, locked all the windows, double-checked the doors, and even peeked into the closets. I had stayed in too many places where things felt just a little off, so I was cautious by nature. Everything seemed fine, though, so I settled in for the night with my laptop and a microwave dinner I'd picked up on the way. By 10:30, I was already in bed. The day had been long, and I was ready to crash. The neighborhood was so quiet that it almost felt unnatural. I told myself it was just a small town, no traffic, no loud neighbors, but the silence was unnerving. Around midnight, I woke up. I wasn't sure why at first. There wasn't any noise, no loud bang or crash to startle me awake. But something felt wrong. As I lay there, I thought I heard a faint shuffling sound coming from somewhere in the house. It was subtle, almost like fabric brushing against fabric. I strained my ears, holding my breath, trying to pinpoint it. Then it stopped. I told myself it was just the house settling. Old pipes or creaky floors, maybe. I rolled over, pulling the blanket tighter around me, and closed my eyes. But the sound came again. This time, it was more distinct, closer, and definitely coming from inside the house. My heart started to race as I sat up in bed, straining to hear. It sounded like it was coming from below me. I got out of bed, my legs trembling, and tiptoed to the bedroom door. I opened it just enough to peek into the hallway. The living room was bathed in faint moonlight coming through the curtains, and everything looked still. But the sound was clearer now. A soft, rhythmic scraping, like something being dragged across a rough surface. It was definitely coming from below the floor. I realized the house must have a basement. I hadn't noticed any stairs or a door leading down there, but I hadn't been looking for one either. I stood there in the dark hallway, debating what to do. My gut told me to get out of the house, but I didn't want to overreact. Maybe it was an animal or some kind of mechanical issue. Grabbing my phone, I turned on the flashlight and began searching for the basement entrance. Sure enough, in the kitchen, tucked behind a small pantry door, I found a narrow staircase leading down. The door was slightly ajar. My stomach dropped. I hadn't opened this door earlier, and I knew I'd locked all the doors when I arrived. I shone the flashlight down the stairs, but the beam barely penetrated the darkness. "Hello?" I called out, my voice shaky. "Is someone there?" No response. I stood there for a moment, torn between calling the police and convincing myself it was nothing. Then I heard it. A low, guttural sound, almost like breathing. That was enough for me. I slammed the pantry door shut and bolted back to the bedroom. My hands were shaking so badly I could barely grab my things. I stuffed my laptop into my bag, threw on my jacket, and made a beeline for the front door. As I was unlocking it, I froze. The sound of heavy footsteps echoed from the kitchen. I didn't look back. I threw the door open, sprinted to my car, and locked myself inside. My heart was pounding as I fumbled with the keys, starting the engine and peeling out of the driveway. I didn't stop driving until I reached a gas station about 10 miles away. Sitting in the safety of my locked car, I finally called the police and reported what had happened. They took my information and said they'd send someone to check it out. A few hours later, I got a call back. The officer told me the house was empty when they arrived. No signs of forced entry, no one in the basement. But then he paused. "Did you know the basement isn't supposed to be accessible?" he asked. "What do you mean?" I replied. "The owner of the property confirmed that the basement door should have been locked. It's not part of the rental. He didn't even leave a key for it." I felt a chill run down my spine. Someone had been in that house with me, and they knew the layout better than I did. The Airbnb host later called to apologize profusely and offered a full refund. They said they'd be having the locks changed and the basement permanently sealed. I never found out who, or what, was down there that night. My name is Emily, and I've always considered myself a cautious person. I live alone in a small house on the edge of a quiet neighborhood, tucked away from the main road. It's peaceful most of the time, and I've always felt safe here, until one night last fall, when that sense of safety was shattered. It was late October, a chilly Thursday evening. The air had a sharpness to it that hinted at the winter to come. I had just gotten home from work around 7 p.m., and the first thing I did was lock the front door behind me, like I always do. I remember it clearly because it had been one of those long, exhausting days at work. I made myself a cup of tea, threw on some sweats, and settled on the couch with a blanket and my laptop. I wasn't doing anything exciting, just scrolling through emails and catching up on a show in the background. Around 10 p.m., I decided it was time to call it a night. I turned off the TV and walked around the house doing my usual routine, checking the locks on the windows and doors, making sure the porch light was on, and setting my phone on the charger in the bedroom. By 10:30, I was in bed, scrolling through my phone one last time before turning off the lamp. That's when I heard it, a faint knock. At first, I thought I imagined it. It was so soft that it barely registered, like someone tapping on glass with their fingertip. I sat up in bed, straining to listen. The knock came again. This time, I was sure it wasn't in my head. I glanced at the clock, 10:36 p.m. Who would be at my door at this hour? I slid out of bed and grabbed my robe, tying it tightly as I crept toward the front door. My heart was pounding, but I told myself it was probably nothing. Maybe a neighbor who needed help or a package delivery gone wrong. When I got to the door, I hesitated. The knock came again, louder this time. "Who is it?" I called out, trying to keep my voice steady. There was no response. I flipped the porch light switch and looked through the peephole. My stomach dropped. There was no one there. For a moment, I stood frozen, staring through the peephole, convinced I'd see someone step into view. But the porch was empty. I double-checked the lock on the door, making sure it was secure, and turned off the light. "It's just the wind," I muttered to myself, though deep down, I didn't believe it. I started back toward my bedroom, trying to shake off the unease, when I heard a noise from the back of the house. It was faint but distinct. A creaking sound, like someone stepping on the wooden deck outside my sliding glass door. This time, my stomach churned with real fear. The sliding door in the kitchen led to my fenced backyard. No one should have been back there. I tiptoed to the kitchen, careful not to make a sound, and peeked around the corner. The blinds were closed, but I could see the faintest shadow of movement through the small gaps. Someone was out there. I grabbed my phone from the counter and dialed 911, whispering to the dispatcher that someone was on my property. She told me to stay on the line and lock myself in a room until the police arrived. As I backed away from the kitchen, I heard the doorknob jiggle on the back door. My heart felt like it was going to explode. "Stay calm," the dispatcher said in my ear. "Officers are on their way." I ran to the bedroom and locked the door behind me, barricading it with a chair. I could hear the faint sound of footsteps outside, moving along the side of the house. Then came another knock, this time on the bedroom window. I nearly screamed, but clamped my hand over my mouth. The knock wasn't soft or polite. It was deliberate, loud enough to send a clear message. "I know you're in there." The dispatcher kept me talking, her voice calm and steady, but I could barely focus on her words. I was too busy staring at the window, waiting for something, or someone, to appear. The knocking stopped, and for a few minutes, there was silence. It felt like an eternity before I finally heard the sound of sirens approaching. When the officers arrived, they searched the property but didn't find anyone. They reassured me that whoever it was must have been scared off by the sound of the sirens. But as they were leaving, one of the officers shone his flashlight on the kitchen window and froze. There, written in the condensation on the glass, was a single word: "Soon." The officers took photos and assured me they'd patrol the area throughout the night. But the look on their faces told me they didn't have high hopes of catching whoever it was. I spent the next few nights at a friend's house, too afraid to be alone. I installed security cameras and motion lights around the property. But even now, months later, I still feel a sense of unease every time I hear a knock or see condensation on the windows. The police said it was likely a random prowler, someone trying to scare me for fun or looking for an easy target. But I can't shake the feeling that it was something more. The investigation is still open, and the officers check in with me occasionally, but they haven't found any leads. Whoever it was, they haven't come back yet. But I sleep with a baseball bat by my bed now, just in case.